Unfortunately, as of this date, the state of Illinois owes us about $1.2 million. Most of that is from our Department of Children and Family Services funding, and a large part of that is related to the Adoption Preservation Home Therapy Program that we do in 22 counties.
Last spring, you told Charlie Schlenker that even though interest payments are included in a line of credit, it made financial sense to use the line of credit instead of tapping into some of these reserve accounts. I take it that's still the case?
Yes, that is the case. We do have a rainy day fund, like many folks do if you've managed your financial resources prudently, and those are in secure investments that we are, do better to use our line of credit, which has a lower interest rate, than to liquidate investments that have a higher rate of earnings.
How would you assess the Baby Fold's current financial situation today compared to about 1 year ago?
I think in terms of the numbers, what I said previously, the Baby Fold continues to have a very strong financial foundation for our operations because we do have a reserve investment account fund that we can utilize in addition to the line of credit. I think the thing that has made this more challenging is this ongoing increased level of uncertainty in terms of Springfield's ability to come together, create a budget, and provide some predictability for our cash flow and program operations. I don't think any of us would have believed when we chatted a while back that we would still be sitting here today without a budget in our state.
And when that chat took place about a little less than a year ago, of your overall $15 million budget, you said that you were projecting a deficit of $1.7 million. I think you said now it's $1.2 million, so it is a little bit better.
Yes, and that is because of cutbacks and things that we have tried to do to tighten our belt. We understand that everyone is doing belt tightening, whether it's business or social service or even at the state level, and we certainly are willing to continue to try to find new efficiencies in our operational costs. But it really is the unpredictability of just not really seeing any end in sight to Springfield being able to work with us as a partner and help give us some predictability for payments.
Last year, one of the consequences of being stretched thin for you was that you were forced to cut back on your residential treatment center. How are those services today?
Those services have continued. We did do that downsizing from 28 beds down to 14. And again, these are children under the age of 14 who are some impacted very significantly with mental health issues due to the trauma or abuse and neglect that they've experienced in their lives. And so we're happy that we've been able to preserve that service. We think it's very necessary in Central Illinois, and particularly for young age children that need a special level of care and treatment because of their developmental needs. But with all of our program operations, and we'll be starting to work on budgeting in April, we're going to have to continue to look at all of our program operations and make a plan for sustainability financially for those programs. And it's, again, the increasing difficulty is not knowing to what degree the state of Illinois will be able to deliver on their promise that they've given us through contractual agreements. I mean, we have signed contracts, and this is part of the issue from a business perspective that is being challenged and I think is set to be reviewed in a court case, that we have signed contracts. The state has not ended that contractual agreement for these services, and they certainly are holding us accountable for providing the service. So you provide service, but you don't receive payment.
So it sounds like a lot the same as it was last year. And in the Stretch Thin series interview last year, you talked about the need to cut staff as well as services.
We are going to need to just continue to look at staffing and service provision in those programs that we're receiving direct state revenue for, and that would be within our Child Welfare Department of Children and Family Service operation.
Now, last spring, you were carefully reviewing every staffing vacancy. Is that still the case, and how would you characterize staffing related to the recent past?
That is still the case. As we experience turnover in positions, we evaluate every position to see if there is an opportunity to share tasks or distribute tasks in a certain way so that we don't have to refill those positions. And we're continuing to do that. And just to illustrate that no one's role is immune from adding extra duties, we have a planned retirement of a upper-tier administrative position at the Baby Fold. It's our Vice President of Programs and Services. And we are looking at how we can redistribute those supervisory duties across other members of our executive team, and that will be a position, an upper administrative position, that we are not going to be refilling.
Which has its plus and minuses. On the plus side, I guess, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, the more money you save. But that's a major position that you're going to have basically go unfilled.
It is a major position that really helps provide supervisory supports to our program directors that are operating our programs. And we just felt that because we're looking so critically at all of our expenses, that we're not going to refill that for now. If and when we see more predictability or stability in our funding partnership with the state of Illinois, we can always reexamine filling that position. But for right now, it is viewed as not being filled indefinitely.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Willis Kernan. We're visiting with Diane Schultz, the CEO at the Baby Fold. Let's take a look at this in maybe oversimplistic terms. How has the number of kids you've been able to serve gone down in the past year?
The number of children, we have seen some changes to children being referred through our foster care programs. And I think that is really because DCFS is trying to develop other services to stabilize children in their home environments, which we philosophically agree with, and the state has been successful to some degree. We certainly have not been able to serve, even though it's 14 beds, I would say annually, that's about, 17 to 20 additional children through our residential program that are no longer being able to be served. Our school program, which is a special education school program that public schools can make referrals to for kids that have special ed needs that cannot be met in the public school, our enrollment and our census in that program has remained steady, and we have even seen some increase in our service capacity for children with autism. So that's one program area where it's holding pretty steady.
A year ago, the budget situation had you contemplating a pivot of sorts in services based on the lagging state funds. You wondered about being able to contribute to mental health services, and this is what you told Charlie Schlenker.
We would be interested in having more discussions with other community providers that are providing services to this local population and figure out if there's a way that we could collaborate together to help move the programming for the McLean County Mental Health Initiative forward.
Has that moved forward, if at all, regarding your agency?
We have continued to be an active partner with other of our social service providers and school personnel in looking at how we can enhance mental health service delivery in our county. There have been some really strong and active work groups, including representatives from our hospitals that have been working on this, and the McLean County's board's collaborating and coordinating council for mental health is adding to that discussion. So I think that we've applied jointly for some grant funding to help support mental health services in our county. There have been some grants, I believe, that have been awarded related to some juvenile justice programming, but not so much on the broader mental health array of services. But this is an important example to provide. It is part of the charitable mission of the Baby Fold to use our donor dollars to contribute serving unmet needs in our community. Just think what the Baby Fold might be able to contribute to local needs, such as our county mental health initiative, if we weren't spending approximately $1.2 million a year to make up for the shortfall in what the state revenue is not paying or providing. So it really has a ripple effect, not only in terms of services to that are being provided through contracts with the state, but it has a ripple effect all the way down to local communities and the needs of the local citizens as well.
You bemoan the fact that as of last spring, you had gone about a decade without any rate increases in state funding. Has it really gotten to the point where that's really just pie in the sky wishful thinking?
Well, I think it has reached a level of critical need now. That even our statewide association that represents child welfare and residential programs, it's called the Child Care Association, has made it a formal part of their legislative platform to discuss in earnest the fact that providers need some level of rate relief. It is just unconscionable when we are providing the care and mental health treatment for these children who are in the custody and guardianship of the state of Illinois to have received no increase for 10 years in providing those critical mental health services. So it is going to be actively talked about. How far that will progress, time will tell. But there are programs around our state that are continuing to downsize or close their doors, and then the mental health services for these children are going unmet.
The common argument given by social service agencies for being funded is that it's cheaper to treat problems on the front end than to treat them on the back end. Now, the problem with this is that at least for a while, there's going to be a need for spending on both ends. And you're told there's no money for that. So you multiply this not only by social service agencies, but higher education, K through 12, all the other things the state spends money on. How does the state get past this cycle?
Well, I think that, you know, the individual decisions that agencies, whether it be social service, higher ed, school districts, that all of our decisions can help play a part in resolving those competing priorities. As I mentioned last time I was here, the Baby Fold has made a conscious commitment that we are going to continue to invest in prevention work to prevent trauma, to prevent adverse experiences happening to children, and that's our Healthy Start program. We have that program. It is a research tested and proven model with exceptional outcomes for taking some really high risk young mothers, intervening prenatally, providing supports on up through age 5 if necessary. And we know that we are about 97 to 98% successful with not having cases of abuse and neglect in those homes. And we are just standing by that program. So as we continue to look at the other deficits for foster care or residential that we need to try to cover, we believe that we have a moral obligation as part of our agency mission to prevent harm and trauma to kids, and we are going to make those investments that we need to support those types of programs.